Hi, next level. Oh, how's everybody tonight? Good. Is it too hot in here? Are you guys hot or is it okay? It's okay. It's burning. Okay. All right. Sorry, I had to get some coffee. Well, welcome to the next level. My name is Steele Crosswhite. I have this mic now because we're going to be recording sessions from here on out. So if you guys don't know, we can get these next level teachings online, if not already, from starting last week. Starting pretty soon, we're going to give these messages that we do here on Wednesdays to Tony, and he's going to upload them onto the computer, and then you can hear them there. But if you're new to the next level, welcome. My name's Steele Crosswhite. As you can see, we usually do worship, and then I'm going to do a talk, and then we're going to do some break-off groups, and we're going to get together. We're going to talk about what we learned tonight. We're going to visit with one another and develop unity and that kind of stuff. But first, let's pray, because my heart's all over the place, and I just want to get right here before God. So let's pray. God, thanks for tonight. Lord, thank you that we can come together and we can sing. Thank you, Jesus Christ, that you have something for us to learn tonight. Lord, I pray that you would calm my heart. Lord, that you would calm the hearts of anybody in here, that tonight, God, that they could walk in right now and, Lord, shed off anything that is distracting them from what you might have for them tonight. Lord, thank you that it's good that we're here. I pray, God, that you'd speak through me, that you'd calm my nerves. Lord, that you would just have your way with me completely. I say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So I say it all the time, and I'll say it again tonight, and that is, if you haven't heard this before, this is going to be the first time you've heard it, but I know, because the Bible says, we're a family. Okay? We're supposed to be a family together. We're supposed to be united together. We're supposed to be loving on one another. And I'm always saying we should be unified and hanging out together and loving on one another because we're brother and sister. And you guys hear me say that kind of stuff all the time. And I believe it. It's the revolution, baby. We're going to prove to the world that we're God's disciples by our love for one another. You hear that all the time. And so tonight, I actually want to talk to you like you're my family. Now, I always do that. But I mean, like, if you were to be in my living room, and I were to talk to you, not like Steele Crosswhite from the stage or you guys just learning. I just want you guys to get into the mindset that we're a family. And then I want to figure some stuff out together with you tonight. I want to talk to you the same way I would talk to my wife in my living room. The same time I talk to my brother. The same way I talk to my sister. Because we're brothers and sisters. And I want to get some stuff out in the air. I want to talk about something that I'm excited to talk about. And honestly, I've been dreading talking about. I'm excited because I believe in it so much. I mean, I believe the Bible so much, and I'm nervous about it because every time I talk about this, I end up making somebody mad at me. But you know what? We're a family, and here's the deal. Anymore, hear my heart. I love you. I love you, love you, love you, love you. I want you to get that. But if I make you mad or the Bible makes you mad, I'm willing to do that tonight because I believe in God more. I want to talk about dating. Oh, I just said it. I can't go back. Oh, no, it's on the tape. I can't say anything. I want to talk about the principle of godly dating. And you know what? I'm glad that we're recording this because I want to get it on tape, and I want you guys to all listen to it. And if anybody ever hears this rumor, you can point them right to this. I have heard before that people have said that Steele Crosswhite's against dating, or the Rock Church is against dating. We stand against dating. And you know what? That's such crap. It's just a big fat lie. I just want to come out and say that. It's on tape. It can forever condemn me or release me from that. I believe in dating. The Rock believes in dating. Whoa. You know, Bill Young, he's our main pastor, if you would call him anything, here at The Rock. And he said something very profound to me one time, and I stick by it. He said, Steele, we should be men and women who are not known for what we stand against, but what we stand for. I don't want to be a person who is known for standing against something or someone. I want to be a person that stands for something. I've heard people say, The Rock stands against dating. Such a lie. I will tell you this. The Rock stands for godly dating. Dating with a purpose. Okay? I stand for it. We stand for it. I just want to get that out there. Now, before I get into all the scary kind of verses that we're going to talk about that usually make everybody so mad at me, and I field about 2,000 emails of people frustrated with me, I want to start from this perspective. I think it's so easy for us to, when we hear about dating, especially as young Christians or just trying to figure it all out, we subject everything to like this list of these rules of do's and don'ts. You know, do this, don't do that, make sure you don't do this, and you do that, and it ends up getting confusing, and we end up really doing nothing at all. So tonight I wanted to start this conversation from this perspective. I need you guys to know how much God loves you. Because once you know how much God loves you, these things won't be quite so offensive. In other words, if we as young men and women of this generation, if we as a family, part of this revolution, cannot believe that God is good, and that God is for us, and that God loves us, and that God delights in us, we will never trust Him with our sexuality. We'll never trust Him with our dating relationships. If we don't look at God and say, God, I know You love me. I know You're for me. I know You delight in me. I believe in those things. If we don't understand how much God loves us, then everything just seems like a big to don't. 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 We need to understand that God loves us so that the things that He tells us in the Bible that seem so offensive will take on a different face. So I want to start here. John 10:10. This is a picture of God's heart. Jesus, we just studied in John, for anybody who's been at the next level, we just studied this, so you guys are familiar with it. But Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And He says, in John 10:10, He says, I have come, He's talking to us, I have come so that they may have life and life to the full. I got to say it again because it feels so good. Jesus says, I have come to you guys, my kids, so that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus says in that same verse that the evil one, the thief, comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I, God, have come down to this earth so that you might have life and have it to the full. And guys, it's not just eternal life. Okay? That's part of it. We spend forever with God. But the minute we accept Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It begins right then. God looks at us and He says, I want you to have life for your marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's like this heavenly slot machine. It's like, believe in Jesus and everything's good. But I do know that God is good. And I do know that He said, I have come to bring you life and life to the full. God wants you to have life in your relationships with Him, life in your friendship relationships, life in your marital relationships, and life, joy in your dating relationships. God has come so that you might have life and have it to the full. God's heart. Here's another one. It's kind of a long verse, but I need you to listen to it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. It's talking to us. Put your name here. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your foot will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught. You go, see, that's a long verse. I didn't really get anything. Listen to it. Don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. They will refresh your soul. They will keep you safe on your way. Your feet will not stumble. You can go to sleep and you can wake again in safety and you won't be afraid of disaster. Do you hear God's heart? You see what I'm saying? Keep these close. Bind them around you like a necklace because they will keep you safe. They will refresh your soul. You can go to sleep and wake up peacefully and not be afraid. Are you catching a glimpse of God's heart here? I've come so that you can have life. I've come so that you can sleep soundly. I've come so that you don't need to be afraid. I've come so that you can be peaceful. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jeremiah 31:3. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Okay? That's God's heart. If you want to know what Jesus Christ is like, that's it. He's come to give you life. He's come to give you rest. And he loves you with an everlasting love. That's where we begin. That's where we have to begin this conversation. Now let's get into some of the harder stuff, okay? Last week, Josh talked about something called the radical minimum standard. I just loved that. I thought it was a fantastic title for a talk. He was talking about the radical minimum standard as young men and women of this generation, as a family right here of Christians, the radical minimum standard we must have in brother-sister relationships, okay? And he gave a ton of verses, tons of things that were probably really hard for us to understand and get our minds wrapped around, and hopefully you guys have been challenged by that all week long. But tonight I want to talk about verses that portray the radical minimum standard for us in dating relationships. And these are hard. And I want you guys to be mad at me. I want you guys to grapple with God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1. We heard this a little bit, but I'm going to say it again. It says this. It says, we are, in 1 Timothy 5, 1, it says, we are to treat older men as fathers. Okay? We are to treat younger men, right here in this room. This isn't some isolated, foreign, godly, biblical island somewhere where he's talking to a bunch of Christian natives. He's talking to us, okay? And he says, I need you guys to treat older men as fathers, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Oh, man. That's the standard. We have to remember that God says, I've come to give you life and give you life to the full. And then he turns around and he says, listen, treat old men as fathers and young men as brothers and older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That's your line, guys. Right there. Here's a hard one. Ephesians 5:3. But among you and me, among all of us, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:3. Right here in this room, as God's revolutionaries, as the next generation, we are to not have a hint of sexual immorality. Song of Solomon 2:7. Again, I'm just laying down some groundwork. I'm not against dating. I just want to throw out some things so that people can, you know, chew on this. Song of Solomon 2:7, it says this, do not awaken love before its proper time. Do you think you could say that to this generation right now without getting stoned? Don't do that. Don't awaken love before its proper time. Yeah, right, Amish man. That's what the Bible says. It's our authority. We are not to treat each other as anything less than sister and brother. And we're to have no sexual immorality in us. And then we're to not awaken love before its proper time, before the right time. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, above everything else, he's talking to us, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. In other words, give God your heart first. Guard it. Because everything in this world that you see that's shiny and lights, camera, action and rock and roll and jobs and money and drugs and sex and fame and fun and entertainment, everything wants your heart. All of it. All of it fights for your heart. Satan's pretty clever. It's all wanting our heart. And God says, above all else, give me your heart. Guard it, because from there, it's the wellspring of life. And then finally, there's just one more hard verse for me. And this one actually just it has kept me up at night. And it's 1 Kings 11, verse 4. And this is the verse that shows me that we can't take dating so lightly. Because I think it's too serious of an issue for me. 1 Kings 11, 4, listen to this. Solomon, you guys know Solomon? Solomon was King David's son. David died and Solomon was in charge of the kingdom and he was just learning how to rule the kingdom. And Solomon was this amazing picture of him sacrificing before God and trying to just love God and worship God. And he was sacrificing all these things. And then God appeared to Solomon and he said, Solomon, what do you want? What can I do for you, Solomon? And Solomon said, God, you have just made me the king of all these people, and I don't know what I'm doing. Show me how to lead your people. Give me wisdom to lead your people. And in the Bible it says that God at that point was so pleased that Solomon had asked for something that wasn't for himself, fame or riches, and he made Solomon the wisest man in all the earth. Okay? There had never been anybody wiser before him, and there will never be anybody wiser after him except for Jesus Christ. Solomon was the wisest of all men, in love with God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, it says, even Solomon, who was the wisest of all men, was led astray by foreign women. In other words, somebody else got his heart. By the way, that was the beginning of the destruction of the kingdom of Israel. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, and he took this area in his life too flippantly. And he lost it. We have a radical minimum standard. And those verses are hard to chew on. I mean, I hate these verses. I hated these verses when I wasn't married or when I wasn't dating with the intention with Kim and I was just by myself trying to get God to get my heart. There were so many times I would look at the Bible and go, this is ridiculous. This is the most outdated thing I've ever seen in my life. What does that mean? How am I supposed to be relevant and do any of this stuff? It's monkey business. Blah, 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 blah. I understand how hard these verses are, but guys, this is the Bible. Here's a question. If we can, and this is what, I wish so bad that we would just give our hearts up here. God, sorry, I just wish so much we would listen. I think sometimes we go, even me, I struggle with this so much. But I think you got to ask yourself this question, guys. If we can plant our flags in the fact that God is good, because we do that, and I think at the Rock Church we do that. I think we have an understanding of how much God loves us. That's what makes it so happy here. At least that's why I'm so happy, you know. I think we go, man, I know how much God loves us, and there's grace, and there's freedom. You got tattoos, and you got all these, we're all crazy, you know. We understand how much God loves us, and it's awesome. And we plant our flags there. We go, man, God delights in me. He loves to watch me. God is for me. He's given me grace. I'm going to live with him forever. He's come to give me life and life to the full. He wants me to rest. He loves me with an everlasting love, and we plant our flag in it. We go, man, I believe that. But then we turn the page, a couple pages, and we see these verses, and we somehow think that these verses are somehow up for speculation. Or they're somehow translated incorrectly, because that's way too irrelevant for me. Do you see what I'm saying? It's all. We can't believe this part and not believe that part. It's not up for speculation. It's not up for translation. Unfortunately, we don't have that freedom. But remember, in all of this, God's heart for you is life. I love you. I've come to give you satisfaction. I've come to give you rest. I've come to give you life and life to the full. But here's a heartbreaking quote for me that shows that sometimes I feel like we just don't listen to this part of the Bible. You can find it in Christianity Today. It's a quote I took from there. It says, specific studies of sexual trends among unmarried Christians, okay, among unmarried Christians and Christian teens has been limited. But all indications are that on average, okay, on average, there is little difference between their sexual behavior and that of non-Christian youths, other than to delay their first sexual experience slightly longer. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It should break yours. That there's really no difference other than I'm going to hold the line until Tuesday instead of Monday. There's really no difference. Let me ask you guys a question. And again, I love you. I'm not coming down on you. I just want you to think about some stuff. If you knew that in 2 years, okay, let's say in 2 years, because you guys, I'd say about 99.9% of you guys one day are going to get married. You may not feel like that today, but unless God gave you the gift of singleness, which I doubt, you're all going to be married one day, 99%. So let me ask you this. If you knew in 2 years, you like had this revelation, you had this, God came to you and he said, in 2 years you are going to have the most amazing spouse. he or she is going to be so much fun to be with, and they're going to love all the same things that you love, and they're going to really love Jesus, and they're going to be pretty or handsome, and it's going to be the most incredible spouse ever, and you're going to be compatible in every way. You're going to communicate. You're going to laugh. You're going to have amazing sex. It's all going to be so awesome. Everything's going to be so good. In 2 years, in 2009, I'm going to have my spouse of my dreams. If you knew that, okay, how would it change your day today? If you knew that in 2 years, just thinking about it, if in 2 years you knew that you were going to have the most incredible spouse of your dreams, would that affect the way that you were living your life today? Okay, I'm done with the bashing session here. If you were dating, okay, in this room, I know there's people dating. If you are dating, I just want to ask you guys a couple of questions to help you, okay? I just want to help you see through it, because I want to be a generation that's known for loving Christ. I do. And so in all that, with all these standards, the radical minimum standard that God has put down to treat each other as sisters and brothers and not to have any sexual morality and not to awaken love before its proper time and to guard our hearts and to make sure that God fully gets our heart, not like Solomon who gave it away. If you're dating, I want you guys to ask yourself these questions, okay? And you should probably write them down because there's five of them. Number one. If you are dating somebody, ask yourself this question. Is the person I am dating a Christian? Is the person that I'm dating a Christian? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, I'm going to just use the Bible to defend all these thoughts, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that we should not be yoked with an unbeliever. Okay? If you're a believer, again, this is kind of a family session. That's why I had to start it this way, is because I feel like we're in my living room. If you're new tonight, guys, it's not usually quite this heavy. Welcome to the next level. But if you are dating somebody, is he or she a Christian? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, we have nothing in common with those that are not saved on the level where it counts most. You know, when all the fritz and the fizzle or whatever it is fades away, and we wake up, we better have a common bond with Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have that, we've lost it. We will not be as happy as I believe God wants us to be. We will not rest the way that I feel like God wants us to rest. In fact, the Bible says that we will be just blatantly out of His will if we are Christians when we get married or when we are dating them. Here's another question. If you're dating, and this is a good one. If you're dating, is there a commitment for marriage in sight or for the relative future? Okay? If you're dating right now, is there in sight anywhere at all on the horizon any sort of commitment to one day get married that you can wrap your mind around, okay? As opposed to just one day. It's so hard. Listen to this Bible verse. It says Proverbs 27:12. The wise man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and they suffer for it. Again, if we go back down to those Bible verses, it says we treat each other with purity and we treat each other as sister and brothers and there's no hint of sexual morality, and you start dating somebody and we think that Solomon, who is the wisest of all men, was led astray by foreign women, that we are wiser or stronger than him, and we get into a dating relationship where there is no end sexually. We go, well, we're just going to keep going, and maybe one day we'll just... I believe we're all well-intentioned people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're all a bunch of, you know, crazy, I'm just wanting to go against God kind of people. Okay? I just think sometimes we don't think it through. If we are dating, okay, and we don't look at it and go, there's got to be an end in sight. Because I think there's so many well-meaning Christians, young people that go, you know what, I'm going to stay pure. I'm going to do what I know how to do. We're going to follow God. We're going to go to church together. And we're just going to date, and we're going to date, and we're going to date, and we're going to date. But there's no end in sight. There's no end in sight. We don't know when we're going to be able to let go of the things that God made us to do, which is have sex. One of the things, not only. But we need to be wise about that. If you're dating somebody, can you wrap your mind around a date? Or can you wrap your mind around a time frame so that will encourage you to treat each other with purity? Okay? Question 3. Am I being secretive, if I'm dating somebody, am I being secretive or open about my dating relationships? Because the idea, guys, that especially, I know how it works, sometimes it's like we don't want to get in trouble because the rock's against dating, you know what I mean? Or such and such doesn't think we should date. Or we secretly kind of just kind of go, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to date. so nobody can see it. I don't want anybody to see it. I'm going to keep my dating relationship a secret. Ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you afraid of what people might say? Especially the people that really love you. Here's a hard verse. Proverbs chapter 9. It says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. In other words, sometimes I think that when we're secretive about our dating relationship, it feels so good. It feels so romantic. It feels so just you and I. But the Bible says, you know what? That tastes sweet for a time. It tastes delicious for a time. It feels great for a time. But in the end, it leads to death. And again, these are just questions to grapple with. And always, always remember that God has given us these things to give us life and hope and rest. And then the last question. If you're dating right now, okay, am I guarding my purity or am I placing myself in compromising situations? Okay, maybe we're these people that say, you know what, we do want to get married. We are dating. I can wrap my mind around this. I would just say that is so good. Way to go. Way to have intention. Way to think things through. Are you guarding your purity or are you putting yourself in compromising situations? In other words, are you going out to a party and then leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning after having a couple of beers or something, and you're driving in the car and you really don't know where you're going next? You don't know if you're dropping your girlfriend or your boyfriend off, and the next thing you know, your favorite song comes on or whatever, and you're making out and just dun dun dun. We're made to do certain things, people. You know? Are you guarding your purity? Okay. Are you at your girlfriend's house or your boyfriend's house, and you're watching a movie and their parents are upstairs asleep, or your friends have left to go outside or to go grab some food or something, and you're downstairs and there's nobody around and the lights are off and it just feels so good when you're kissing each other or something, and then da 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 da. Are you guarding your purity? Because if you aren't guarding your purity before you get there, you've already lost the battle. If you're not thinking that stuff through, guys, again, I'm not trying to hammer on you. Here's a good Bible verse for that. Proverbs 6:27 through 28. It says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? In other words, if it's a Friday night and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and you're listening to some smooth Kenny G or something, you've just scooped a bunch of fire on your lap. What do we think we're doing? You know what I mean? Do you think we can hold the line? No way! No, I don't think that's going to last, you know, much past Thursday. I mean, come on. I just think we need to think through that kind of stuff. You know, if we're going to be the generation that's known for loving God, if we're going to hold these standards, if we're going to say, I know God loves me, I'm going to be a revolutionary baby, well then, man, we better wonder what's going to happen after 10 o'clock at night. Are we thinking through it? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it like at midnight we turn into these sexual vampires or something. I'm just saying that stuff happens, you know? We got to think through that. You know, the God says that, you know, you're not supposed to scoop fire onto your lap. That's what's going to happen, okay? So the questions are, are they a Christian if you're dating them? If you're saying, I'm dating with a purpose, are they a Christian? Is there a commitment in sight? Are you being secretive? Are you guarding your purity? Okay? Now, I named this talk, Don't Rush the Mush. And the reason I named it Don't Rush the Mush is because, yes, this conversation is about dating, but I really wanted to spend just the last few minutes here talking to those of you guys that are not married, the singles. You know, I admire anybody who's even here tonight. I need to tell you that. I know there's so many cooler things we could be doing with our Wednesday night according to the world. I mean, I get it. I know how hard it is. I do know how hard it is to be single. I mean, I haven't been married that long. I'm not some guru of all these things. I know how difficult it is when everything we see in this world tells us something different than what I've just told you tonight. It is so hard to be a young man or a young woman or an old man or an old woman. It doesn't make a difference. And seem to think that if we are single, that somehow we still have worth or identity. It's just, it just breaks my heart because I know that feeling. I know how it feels to go, well, they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it. Why can't I do it? And we just rush it. We rush it. Well, God says, I've got the best for you. And I don't think it's because, you know, we're trying to be mean, or we're trying to be vindictive, or we're even trying to willfully stand against God. I think it's because we have broken hearts. I think it's because we're frustrated and we're tired, and God is trying to prove his goodness to us, and it is so hard to hold the line in this world. I get it. When all of our significance is wrapped up in who we're dating or what we're doing on Friday night, and why are we still alone? It's just, it sickens me, and I get it. But I wanted to encourage you guys with a couple of things. If you're single, okay, and take these things to heart. If you are single and you're not involved in a significant dating relationship, okay, God has uniquely equipped you with some things that I think you guys should think about. He's uniquely given you a gift. He's provided you with something that married people do not have. Okay? He's handpicked you for this. He's groomed you for this, and he's readied you for this. He's readied you so that you guys, if you are single, can reach a certain type of person with the gospel. Okay? Equipped you for that. If you are single, your significance is not in who you are not with. It's in who you are with God. And that he has equipped you to go and reach people that I can't reach. Or Dax and Lauren can't reach. Or Ryan and Christina can't reach. Or Joshua. I mean, on and on. Okay? The married people. We can't reach them. That's why God still called you to be single. Because there's people that God has said, I need to use you right here. And we've got to open our eyes and see it. It's not because we're cursed. It's not because God's mad at us. It's because he wants us to be listening to him, and he wants to use our singleness. That's one thing he's equipped us with. Number two, if you're single, he's equipped you, and this is important to me, and I don't know when this started to happen in my heart, but God has equipped you, if you are single, to be the face of godliness and relevancy to the next generation. Okay? Godliness first, but relevancy to the generation. Look behind you, okay? Not literally, but look behind you in the sense of the people that you don't even know that are 14 years old or 15 years old or 16 years old in the world that we're trying to hold a line in. Okay? How much harder is it for them? That they're trying to find somebody. Show me what it means to be godly. Show me what it means to be relevant. Show me how to do it in this world. Because everything I see shows me something different, and they're this generation, and they are looking at you to show them what it means to be godly and single and relevant. God has equipped you and called you to that. Show them. It's a good job. Somebody behind you needs to know what you're doing so that they can win too. And then finally, and this sounds kind of hokey, especially for guys, I think. But if you're single, God has called you to a really special time where your significant other is Christ himself. And that's the most amazing gift any one of us could ever have, is God himself. You will learn things that you can't learn when you're married, when you're single, when you trust God with this. Because he's so personal. He's so intimate with you. I mean, he's all over it. You know, your sexuality and your purity and your faith and your trust, and he's just right there. He's like your all in all. It's amazing. I crave that. I miss that. I really do, believe it or not. Then when I was with Kim, I mean, it's not like Kim and I were like, well, now we're married. I mean, it was the worst, most horrible time waiting for her. It sucked. It was so hard to wait for my wife. It was so hard. And then I had feelings of attraction for her, and it was so brutal because then I was trying to not you know, break all these things that I knew that God wanted me to do right, and I wanted to hold the line, and it was so hard. It was brutal. It wasn't some like romantic summer story. The result is beautiful, okay? But it was horrible. It was so hard. But that time in my life is to this day the most significant time I've had with God. The most personal time I've had with God. Because I would walk around and I would scream at God. I'd be frustrated at God. And then I would worship God because I was like, I can't believe that I'm talking to you about these kinds of things. He wasn't some cold, distant, irrelevant thing. He was the very God that I was going, God, if you are real, help me in this area. And my faith deepened in him in ways that I can't deepen with, that they don't deepen now. Realize that if you are single, it is not a curse from God, okay? It is a gift from God. It's beautiful. And if you're dating, hey, baby, I'm all for it. I want to help you. I want to go on tape to say that Steel Cross White's for dating, as long as it's done with a purpose. I want to help you and serve you guys in any way that I can. I want you guys to know that if you're dating, you don't need to be secretive. I want you guys to know that if you're dating, you're not going to hell. I love you guys. I just want us to be the generation that thinks about things a little deeper than the average Joe. So let's pray. God, thank you that you are the author of romance. God, thank you that your love is romantic, that you are the maker of it. God, that you are the maker of all the things that we crave in our dating relationships, all the things that we crave in our intimate relationships, God, that we think about. You're the author of it, God, and you are the one that is good. I pray, God, that tonight that your kids here, Lord, would understand that these things that are so hard to deal with are not because you're mad. They're not because that, it's not because you're evil, God. It's not because you're a killjoy. It's because you love them and you want us to live a life of rest and know that you've come to give us life. Help us, God, in these areas that we struggle with. Help us, Lord, to grapple with your word. Help us, Lord, to be unified in a family in this. Help us, God. We need you. I need you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would make us men and women that are known for loving you, God. I thank you, God, for this family of believers here tonight. And I pray, God, that you can be with our breakoff groups, help us to laugh, and just take our entire evening, Jesus. We give it to you, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.